Dear church, wherever you are, we want to thank you for joining us. It's always a joy to come together as one body to worship God. We want to welcome you and we pray that you'll continue to worship together with us. I'd like to echo the words of Psalm 118, verse 24. It goes like this: "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." We rejoice for God's faithfulness. We rejoice because God has been so wonderfully working in our lives. Today we worship God and we also want to honor our mothers. They're very special people in our lives. You know, they love us. And today we want to honor them and ask God's blessings to be upon them. Together with my wife, Florence, and my two daughters, Jasmine and Rahel, we wish all mothers and mothers to be Happy Mother's Day. May God bless you wherever you are, mothers and mothers-to-be, that God's blessings will continue to be found in your life. Have a wonderful and a joyous Mother's Day. Many families take time today to pay tribute to their mothers in various ways. One of the traditions is to serve mothers with a good heavy breakfast. We want them to enjoy the meal. Adults get gifts for their mothers to show how much they love. You know, if you look at restaurants, this is the busiest day for restaurant owners. Unfortunately, today the time will not permit us, you know, to visit our restaurant. But we can. We can find ways to enjoy and also to celebrate the life that God has given to us and the blessings that we have received from our mothers. I'd like to share some stories about how mothers have actually impacted lives. And today, you know, not only they have impacted our lives, they continue to impact many lives. We'd have heard about Campbell Morgan, a leading Bible teacher, preacher, and a great author. He had four sons, and his four sons were great preachers too. So one day when the family was gathering in the house, someone came in between their conversation, and they were so happy to see the entire family together. And the person who came looked at the son, Howard, and asked Howard, "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" And Howard had a great admiration for his father. But he looked straight across at him, and without hesitation, he answered, "My mother is the greatest preacher." Yes, mothers are greatest people. They teach us. They continue to guide us in our lives. I was also reading a story about a drill sergeant in the army. He was really frustrated. He was really frustrated with a recruit or a soldier. Now, this trainee was just lagging behind in his marches. And this trainee was giving various kinds of excuses, constantly grumbling, and he was not even able to make his bunk properly. But one day, there was a noticeable change, a drastic change that took place in this soldier's life or this recruit's life. And so the officer came and asked the sergeant, "What happened? You know, what happened to this, you know, recruit?" And so the sergeant said, "You know, I tried to punish him, it did not work. I threatened him, it did not work. So I used the ultimate weapon. I called his mother. Then everything was settled." You know, mothers are great people because they're there to strengthen us, to speak to us, even to discipline us, and also to show they love us so much. You know, have you ever asked your mother or mom what she really wants? Have you ever asked? We tend to give hoping, you know, they like the gifts that we give. Continue to give gifts to them. That's wonderful. But ever ask them what they really want for Mother's Day. 2 years ago, in our local Toronto newspaper, there was an article that appeared. And the title of the article was, "What Do Moms Really Want for Mother's Day?" And according to the survey that was done, you know, it turns out that 85% of mothers, majority of them, wanted to spend time with their kids and family. That's what they wanted. You know, interestingly, the survey also showed that they wanted to spend time with their family And, you know, they wanted to spend their money. 60% of moms, you know, tend to spend their own money while celebrating with their kids and family. Mothers always want their children the best for them, right? They want them to be shining light, a light that shines for the Lord Jesus Christ. They also always thinking about how their family will also spend about eternity, about their faith, about our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They always desire that we will have a joyous and a happy family. You know, when you look at scripture, you know, God also longs that we have a happy life, a contented life, a life that is fulfilled, right, to much joy. You know, when you look at the scripture very carefully, in Isaiah 42, 14, God is seen as a woman in labor, right? In Deuteronomy 32, 18, you know, you see that God is giving birth to his people. So you see the image of God as a mother, as a loving mother, as a nursing mother, in Isaiah 49, 15. And in Isaiah 66, 13, you see the moms who's is so comforting, and God is seen as a mother who's so comforting. In Hosea in 11, chapter 11, 3 and 4, a very interesting passage, you know, how God leads us as a mother in our lives. You know, let me read Hosea 11, 3 and 4. It says, "Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, I who took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them." You know, God loves us so much that he wants to bless us. He wants us to have a wonderful and a blessed life. Let's pray before we dive into this passage that we want to look at today, Psalm 128. Let's pray that God will bless our mothers and our time together as we hear God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great opportunity, God, that you've given to us together, to come together as a church body to worship you and also to ask your blessings upon our mothers today. We pray, God, that you will bless them. You know the desires of their heart. You know their longings, O God. We pray that you will bless them, O God, and fulfill every desire of theirs. We thank you, and we pray, God, as we look at your word, we pray that we draw strength from your word. Continue to speak to us, O God. Continue to encourage us. Lord, continue to motivate us. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen. The passage that I've taken today, it's Psalm 128. When you look at Psalm 128, it's a psalm, talks about a blessed life. When God is the center of our lives, when God becomes the center of our lives, when you look at the passage that was just read to us, you know, it says that our labor has been blessed. In other words, our career has been blessed, our work has been blessed, our family has been blessed. Our children are blessed, and children's children are blessed, you know, and then you see that our nation is also blessed. Now, compared to Psalm 127 and 128, you see there is a step-by-step progression that happens in our life. And this particular psalm is a very interesting psalm in the life of the Jewish Christians, and you know, when they were going to Jerusalem to worship God during their feast, you know, this is one of the psalms that they will sing together as a family. They will just rejoice for God's faithfulness in their life. And Psalm 128 is a very powerful psalm. But I just want to focus on the two important verses that the psalm speaks about. And this is very foundational. This is important. This is, you know, pivotal to receive and to have God's blessings in our life. In Psalm 128, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him, who will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours." You know, what a powerful passage or a verse that, you know, we just heard. And all of us want to be blessed. So what does it mean to be blessed? Who are who will receive the blessing, and how can we receive the blessing? When you look at the psalm, you know, you see the role of the father. And the fathers have an important role to play for the blessing of their family and also the labor and also their generation. And you look at the psalm also, you also realize that every one of us in the house, in the home, is called to fear God. And so let's look at first two verses of Psalm 128. The first word that we see, you know, the word blessed. What is blessed? When you hear the word blessed or happy, right, it is used in many different ways today, right? We hear the word bless you. May God, that He's a blessing. May God come bless the person tremendously. So it's been just used a lot of time. But when you look at scriptures very carefully, you know, there are four different ways the word blessing has been used. One of the first way is the pronouncement of blessing, asking God's blessings upon someone. And secondly, it is in the use in the context of the expression of praise and worship to God. We bless God for who God is in our lives. And thirdly, you realize it is used for something that is consecrated, that is set apart. They've been used for a particular purpose. But the fourth blessing which we are going to see today is the blessing that each and every one of us are longing for our lives. Right? We want to be happy. We want to have a contented life. We want to have a life that is full of joy. The word in the Hebrew text, Esar, is translated blessed. You know, the idea of happiness or contentment. When you look at the literal meaning, it's transcendent blessing. A blessing that surpasses ordinary limits. Superior, right? Supreme in scope. And it's very interesting because it shows God as the source of happiness. Interestingly, the word blessed is used in plural, right? It means multiple of blessings or the intensity of blessings in our life. I think that's the way God wants to bless us. I think that's reveals who God is in our life. Unfortunately, many people today find fulfillment, right, in their life through leisure, through individual pursuits, and without God. You know, such a lifestyle is just opposite the way happiness is detailed in this particular passage. Secondly, we need to ask this question. What is the key to happiness? I believe all of us want to be happy. What's the key? What's the key here? Look at the verse 1 again. It says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. There are three things that I tend to see in this particular word. Three things that actually comes very strongly. First of all, we see the word fear God. In other words, it's about loving God. Fear doesn't mean that you're afraid of God to the extent you run away from Him. It means that you take God seriously. You put Him first in your life because you see God as a loving God, a God who's so full of power and awe, full of majesty. And so God becomes the center of your life. And so we hold God in awe. Right? We look at His majesty and we really admire who God is. But unfortunately, you know, many today, they bring down on the understanding about God, right? We put God into some kind of boundaries, and this is how we feel about God. But the writer of this particular psalm sees God's greatness. He sees God's wonder. He sees God's majesty. And he says, oh, I love Him. I love this God who's so powerful. When Paul writes to the Colossians church in chapter 1, verse 18, he says, in all things, Christ should have the preeminence. And that's, you know, what the passage is talking about. Putting God first, taking God seriously in our life. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, said this, we must reverence the ever-blessed God before we can be blessed ourselves. We must reverence. Secondly, when you look at the word, you know, he talks about walking in His ways. Walk walking in God's ways. In other words, enjoying God. Firstly, about loving God. You know, today we need to ask ourselves, do I love this God? Do I seriously love this God? Do I take this God serious in my life, that I adore Him? And secondly, he says, you know, I enjoy this God because I love Him. I want to walk in His ways. And I want to do whatever He does. Many of us know our kids tend to imitate us, right? They imitate their parents, and many parents have told us, you know, saying that, you know, and I see myself in my kid, the way my kid acts or reacts. I see myself. It's interesting how kids imitate their parents. I think that's the kind of image the writer of this particular psalm is saying, that we tend to enjoy God, we enjoy doing what God does. It's not just reading the scripture alone. It is not just praying. We enjoy, we imitate God. In other words, God is holy, and so we want to be like Him. God is faithful. We want to be faithful. God is loving. We want to be a loving person because of who God is. We want to be compassionate because God is a compassionate God. We love His ways. We enjoy Him. That's the way, you know, the psalmist is writing. And when we look at Psalm 1, verse 2, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of mockers. But it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, that is his delight. He delights. He enjoys in the law of the Lord. Dear friends, do you enjoy walking with God? Do we enjoy just worshiping with God? Do we enjoy, you know, fellowshipping with God? And that's the reason in Psalm 86, verse 11, you know, the psalmist says, Lord, teach me your way, Lord. Teach me your way. Can you hear? You know, there is a cry, there is a desire. Lord, I want to learn of you. So teach me, instruct me at all times. That's what, you know, the psalmist is saying. I came across a research that was done by a Pew Research Center. It says, you know, people who love God, you know, are not only just worshiping God, but they are seen actively participating, and they tend to be much more happier. Do we really enjoy walking with this God? Do you enjoy worshiping this God? The Bible, we hear people like Enoch, Noah. It says they walked with God. In other words, God was the center of their life. They enjoy His company. They enjoyed just worshiping God. They enjoyed doing whatever God wanted them to do. And when you do that, you know, let me assure you, God's blessings will be upon us. Lastly, when you look at the passage, when I look at the passage, I see, you know, submitting to God. In other words, humble reliance. The writer of this particular passage is saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I realize that I'm limited. I realize, oh God, that I need you. I need you each and every moment. I need your blessings on my life, in my labor, in my kids, in my grandchildren, in my nation. So he realizes that it's only by humble reliance, submitting to God, trusting Him, leaning on Him, that I will have blessings. Psalm 147, verse 11, right, it says, when we wait upon God, trusting Him, just looking for His guidance, right, God favors those who wait. But today we have thought about self-reliance. We have thought about individualism, right? That's good in a certain extent, my friend. But when you look at it, are we trusting God? Are we just depending on Him and saying, Lord, I realize how much I need you, how much I need you? When you look at the passage, you know, one of the questions that you will tend to ask, you know, what about those Christians who are suffering? Those Christians who are going through rough times in their life. But you look at the passage and many of the Psalms, It talks about, yes, the psalm is not ignorant about the sufferings that many Christians face, but the psalms has a longer view, a longer view. And it talks about Jerusalem, right? We will have difficulties. We do have challenges in our life, but it has longer we talks about Jerusalem. It's hinted in verses 5 and 6. It says, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So in other words, you know, he points to the new Jerusalem. Right? That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, you read, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So it talks about not only blessings in our life, but I think it talks about a kingdom where we will enjoy with God as the King. And so, my friend, today, the blessed life is conditioned upon a God-centered life. I know you want your families to be blessed. I know you want your work to be blessed. I know you want your kids to be blessed. Right? I know you want the country to be blessed, the cities to be blessed. If each and every one of us can say, you know, I want to love this God. I want to fall in love with this God. I just want to enjoy Him. Enjoy doing what God enjoys. Right? And I just want to trust Him and say, Lord, I need you. Lead me, God. I want to trust you. Give me that faith. Let me know that you are in control of everything that happens in my life. Let me close with a story about a missionary who was trying to teach a person. This particular person was having a lot of issues in the life. So the missionary took the Lord's Prayer and was trying to teach from the Lord's Prayer. So when the missionary got to the end of the clause where it says, Our Father who art in heaven, the person stopped and said, Is God our Father? The missionary said, Yes, God is our Father. And to the surprise of the missionary, the person said, That is enough. I have nothing to fear because God is my Father. I have nothing to be worried, to be afraid of. Today, my friend, is God your Father? Is God your Shepherd? Is God your Lord? Is God your Savior? He wants to be our Savior because He loves us. He wants to bless our lives, my friend. He wants to be the center of our lives. If you and I, you know, can say, Lord, I'm yours, God assures us of His blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, because you're a God who wants to bless us. We pray, God, that we will accept you as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Father, as our Shepherd, O God. We pray that you lead us. We'll love you once again. Help us, O Lord, to enjoy you. And help us, O Lord, to draw strength from you. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray.